إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah. We praise Him abundantly. And we seek refuge with Allah from the evil within our souls and the consequences of our bad deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness, as you bear witness, that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, the Exalted, alone with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a slave and his messenger. May Allah exalt his mention. May Allah grant him peace. And may Allah send His blessings upon him, his companions, his wives, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of recompense. Brothers and sisters in Islam, first and foremost, I thank you for taking the time to attend this particular event. Because you could be doing something else. You could be shopping. You could be enjoying the rain. I don't know if you do that usually. You could be spending time with your family. Many different things that human beings have the means and the abilities to do. But for you to choose to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first to pray the Salatul Maghrib in Jama'ah, which is 27 times the Salah you would have had you prayed at home, and then to listen to a lecture which Allah's name is being mentioned and the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being conveyed. We ask Allah to make us among those who convey the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then this is a very big deal. It's a big deal. And allow me to move this bottle out of the way. Sorry. I want to see the brothers. I don't want to see water. It's a big deal that not that many people are invited to. You didn't come here on your own because of your own skills or because you're very intelligent, even though you may be. It is Allah Azza wa Jal who decreed that you come to this particular place. And so we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly for that. And Allah brought us here in spite of the discussion which we'll be dealing with. I mean, there is something which usually would prevent us from getting closer to Allah. Not necessarily through a lecture. There are many different ways to get closer to Allah. But there's this one thing which always and forever tries to be an obstacle in our way. And that thing is none but Iblis and his children. Because Iblis has children. And the children of Iblis are the shayateen. The shayateen of ins and jinn. They are human beings who are shayateen. Don't look around. Okay, it's like, yeah, that brother over there. No, inshallah, everybody here, inshallah. We ask Allah that everybody's upright. But there are shayateen among human beings. Because you say at the end of Surah An-Nas, min al-jinnati wan-nas. So this shaitan is not a friendly creature. In fact, he is full of enmity and full of hatred. And he has old school, classical ways of misleading us, and he has modern ways. He actually develops with the development of human beings. He uses the same technology which we may use to service the deed of Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same things are used by shaitan to lead the masses astray. So he's up to date. You don't need to update him. And because of that, it requires that we become familiar with these modern traps, because we're living in modern days, to avoid falling into his traps. People back then, at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and afterwards, if they wanted to sin, it was not as easy as today. Just an example. If a man wanted to see a half-naked woman, he would have to actually go out fetching to find a woman. Then that woman has to be an evil woman. Then she has to be half naked. Then he has to have access to see that. Many different steps may be taken. Of course, he may be riding a horse or a donkey or a camel. It may take him hours looking around and find nothing. Nowadays, you pick up your phone. You go to YouTube. You type in a keyword and it's all there. That's modern. That wasn't available then, it is available now. And if we don't realize that, we may fall into these traps of shaitan, and we may be led astray and lead others astray while thinking that we are rightly guided. Because one of the tricks of the shaitan is to mislead someone while making him think that he's rightly guided. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَصُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Whosoever turns away from the remembrance of Allah, the Quran and the Sunnah in general, we shall assign for him a devil. This is Allah's words. نُقَيِّدْ تَقْيِيدْ. It's like they're clipped together. They're attached together, they're latched together. نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. قَرِين is like your close companion, one who's very near to you. And then what does he do after he becomes your best friend? وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَصُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ. And these shayateen will be misleading the people, their people who are accepting them, away from the path. And then the key word or the key sentence, وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ, while they think that they are rightly guided. So it is one thing to be deceived by him, and it's another thing to be deceived to the extent that you do not even realize you have been deceived. And this is when the calamity strikes. When a person reaches this particular level, nothing is effective unless Allah wills otherwise. You give him nasiha, he doesn't accept. You advise, he rejects. You remind, it goes from this ear to that ear. It doesn't go through the heart. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. All these sins created veils over the heart. And so when the nasiha comes, it doesn't have a path. It doesn't have a place to enter. It is rejected by the ran, by the sins. And so they do not understand, they do not comprehend, they do not see. إِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah says subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not the vision which goes blind, it is the hearts which are within the chests. Because of this fact, and because many Muslims have fallen exactly into that, it becomes necessary that we equip ourselves with the tools and the means and the knowledge and the application of the knowledge by Allah's tawfiq, Allah granting us success, not individually, to be able to preserve ourselves, to contain ourselves, and to ensure that we remain within the boundaries of Allah so that we can stay on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Because the Sirat al-Mustaqim is not free of temptation. There are people, shayateen, trying to take us away. Come as shortcut. I'll give you a shortcut. Why do you have to do all this hard work? And we will see some of the examples during the lecture, inshallah. Trying to make it seem like it's simple. Wallahu ghafurun rahim. You know, that's the fatwa that most non-practicing Muslims give you. Say, brother, you know, this is not really good for you. Akhi, Allah is ghafurun rahim. Allah is forgiving. You're going to make life difficult for us? Subhanallah. What is this pick and choose in the book of Allah? What happened to Inna Allah Azizun Dhumtiqam? Allah is full of might and revengeful. What happened in Allah Shadidul Iqab? Allah is very severe in punishment. نَبِّ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. Convey to my slaves that verily I am the most merciful, the most forgiving, and that my punishment is the most severe punishment. And the Prophet ﷺ was commanded to convey to the ibad both, not one without the other. So we can't be taking that side road. We have to remain on the path. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created us to leave us unattended. We weren't created in vain. We were created for an objective. Can anyone tell us what that objective is? Can you give me a dalil? Beautiful. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Many people have not come across, or they didn't really pay attention to the following ayat. The following ayat, by the way, are very much relevant to this one. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ. Allah does not expect sustenance from us, because He is إِنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. It is Allah, the sustainer, the one full of power, the most strong, subhanahu wa ta'ala. People usually give you an excuse that, brother, I cannot do this objective of worship, the objective of life, which is ibadah, because I'm trying to earn a living. So they earn a living in haram, or they are too busy to pray, and the shaitan has trapped them in this fashion, because they think that they're accumulating sustenance, while Allah told us that He created us not for that, for ibadah. When you do ibadah, Allah is ar-razzaq. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرُزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. When you do the what Allah wants of you to do, then Allah is the one who will make a way out for you from every difficulty, and He will provide you from places you do not expect. Some people think that you'll be walking down the street and suddenly a bag of gold will drop on your head and say, where did this come from? Say, brother, you've been among the atqiya, so this is the rizq which Allah sent you. This is not how it works. If that happens, share it with us. That'll be an interesting story. But that's not how it works. It means that it could be that Allah will bring you some irth, some inheritance money, which was not in your, not on your mind. It wasn't, part of your plan. It could be that Allah will give you a job better than your previous one, and so you have more sustenance. Or it could be that Allah will simply bless what He has given you already. Because two people can make, I'm not really familiar with the ringgits here, the value, but let's say two people can make 10,000 riyals. Let me speak in from where I'm coming from. How much is that in ringgits? Anyways, 10 million ringgits, okay? Be generous, it's free. Two people can make the same amount of money, and one of them makes it in halal, and the other one makes it in haram. And so the one who makes it in halal, Allah Azza wa Jal preserves his money, so he doesn't spend it except on things which are beneficial and wholesome. And the other one makes possibly more money, or the same money, from haram, and then he gets in an accident, and then he goes to the hospital, and he winds up paying all that, and he needs to borrow even money from outsiders to pay off the debt. That is one of the means where Allah will bless the rizq. So don't look at figures, because figures don't do it. So the objective of life is ibadah. And that is, Allah gave us particular faculties through which we can identify the truth, we can analyze the truth, and then we have the ability to follow the truth. And so Allah gave us al-sam' والبصر والفؤاد. إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. The hearing, the sight, and the heart, meaning the intellect, because we know that we think as per the Quran in our hearts. Whether science recognizes that or not, whether there's a relation between the heart and the mind, Allah Ta'ala أعلم. But we know that Allah says, لهم قلوب لا يفقهون بها. They have hearts with which they do not understand. So as a Muslim, from the good character, حسن الخلق مع الله, is that you don't take the opinion of a scientist and reject the statement of Allah. If Allah said that, we submit. If Allah said that the wall has an intent, يريد أن ينقض جدار, يريد أن ينقض فأقامه. Allah said the jidar, the wall had an intent, we say the wall had an intent. Why? Allah used the verb يريد for the wall. So we submit to Allah. We don't say, but the scientists say, well, the scientists said that the earth was flat. And now they say that it is not. So the science is something which is changeable. They study, they discover things, then they say, oh, sorry guys. What we thought was a fact, 200 years ago, we realized this is nothing but, a theory. So we don't rely on science. The heart, we are responsible for all of these. And as the ulama say, al-qalb huwa sultan. The heart is like the commander-in-chief. He is the general of the army, and the rest of the body parts are the soldiers. If the heart is sound, ala wa inna fil jasadi mudgha, idha salahat salaha al jasadu kulluh wa idha fasadat fasada al jasadu kulluh ala wa hiya al qalb, aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You all know the hadith. In the body there's a piece of flesh, a morsel. If it is sound, if it is intact, if it is pure, then the whole body will be pure. If it is corrupt, then the whole body will be corrupt, and that is the heart. So the shaitan primarily tries to take us away from Allah by taking over the heart. Once he controls the heart, then the limbs will follow. Because the heart is the one in charge. And so when he gives commands, the limbs will obey and will do what is commanded. So the heart, how is it? How often do we check it? How often do we think about it? Do we even think? Have we ever taken a few minutes and said, my heart, is it sound? Is it pleasing to Allah what is in my heart? Am I a righteous slave of Allah? Or is our hearts have been hardened by sins? It's a very delicate matter that we often are too busy with the dunya to reflect upon, even though this is the most important thing. Because Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he begged Allah in Surah Al-Shu'ara after he established Tawheed, and that وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ, he mentioned the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said he begged Allah to make him from وَرَثَةِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ. Then what did he say at the end of the dua? وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. And do not disgrace me. This is Ibrahim, the Imam, whom Allah made an Imam. The Imam of the Muwahideen, the Hanif, the one who was willing to slaughter his own son. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَ وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ, he put his son for slaughtering. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. But before that, he was willing to sacrifice his son. Which one of us is able to do so right now? Which one of us can see in the dream that Allah commands it? Because the dreams of the Anbiya is wahi from Allah. Which one of us will dare to do it? Our iman doesn't allow us to do it. Ibrahim, who had all of these privileges, was asking Allah, do not disgrace me on the day they are resurrected, on the day where no mal, no wealth, wala banun, no children will be of any benefit, illa, except the one who comes to Allah with a sound heart. Salim, a peaceful heart, a heart full of tawheed, a heart full of the love of Allah, a heart full of the fear of Allah, a heart full of sincerity, a heart full of obedience. If we don't have these qualities, then we're disqualified. We're disqualified from the qalb in salim, which means there's khizi, there's disgrace on yawm al-qiyamah. So you see how serious the matter is. There will be no questions, by the way. There will be no question and answer session. So it's better to focus on the talk as opposed to spend time writing, because I won't be able to answer it either way. I'm sorry. You can come on, chatislam.com every Friday and Tuesday, and there's a 1 hour Q&A session. And if I have an answer, I will answer you live online. But during this particular lecture, because of time constraints and we're coming quite a distance, I apologize, I will not be able to answer your questions. So stay with me for the next, I don't know how many minutes. The heart then, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is a very serious matter. And when the heart is sound, then everything else is going to follow. And when it is not, then everything else is going to follow. So before we pay attention to many different outwardly things, which are of importance, otherwise Allah would not have revealed them. No one can say, yeah, this part of Islam, ما في مشكلة. You can leave it alone, it's not important. If Allah revealed it, if Allah sent Jibreel to the Prophet ﷺ to convey it to him, believe me, whatever it is important for Allah. Even if it's a sunnah, mustahab, it's not obligatory, it is important to Allah. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been revealed. It would have been left with the knowledge of Allah, which we were not told about. Because there are things which Allah didn't mention. سَكَتَ عَنْهَا سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى رَحْمَةً بِنَا. If it is mentioned, it's important. But before we look at the outwardly, we need to analyze what is within. And this is where the battle between us and the shaitan is really hot and heated. This is when you really get down, as they say. How much or to what extent are we defeating him? Or have we been defeated? Have we been defeated and we don't even realize it? Have we given up already and submitted to him so that he will take us with him to Jahannam wal-iyadu billah without even realizing it? I hope from this lecture, inshallah ta'ala, we will be able to understand the means from where he tries to enter, and then we will create blocks. We will put a block before him so that he has no access to us, inshallah ta'ala. I wanted to actually deal with the idea of what is shaitan. Is shaitan a concept? Is he an idea? Is he a fallen angel, as in Christianity? There are many different opinions that the people have, you know, made up on their own, I guess. But we refer back to the Quran and the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we do so, we know that Allah azza wa jal said that he had created jinn from nar. Sahih. He was made from smokeless fire, and Iblis is from the jinn. وَقَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. So Allah commanded the malaika, and Iblis was among them. Not an angel. He wasn't a malak. He commanded them to prostrate to Adam. Is it the prostration of ibadah? Did Allah command the angels to worship Adam? Is it possible ever in the deen of Allah that shirk will be allowed? Never. What kind of sujood was it? Respect. Obedience to Allah, respect to Adam. This was lawful not only at the time of Adam up there, it was lawful at the time of Yusuf alayhi salam. His own parents and his own siblings, they prostrated before Yusuf alayhi salam when they came on the arch. You all know the story. You read Surah Yusuf. It's clear. That doesn't mean that they were told to worship Yusuf alayhi salam, nor were the malaika commanded to worship Adam. It was legislated then as means of respect. Now, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent, even that was no longer allowed. Sujood became for Allah alone. It was no longer sujood of respect and sujood of ibadah. Any sujood is ibadah. That's why you're not allowed to bow to anyone. You know, some people play karate and all these taekwondo, and they go bow to each other. And hold on, man. Take it easy, brother, you know. Just go like this with your hand. Say, but you know, the game. You say, the game, but Allah. Allah said, you know, you don't do ruku or sujood for anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a form of, you know what I'm saying. Ala kulli hal, the point being is that he is from among the jinn. And the jinn are made of smokeless fire. So he's not an idea or a concept, he's a physical being. He's a physical being which Allah azza wa jal created. Some say, why would Allah create shaitan, Iblis? The first thing is, you don't ask such questions. لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. Nobody questions Allah in this sense, that why did you do that? Because some people do that. Why did Allah do that? Say, you know, you have to have adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and we learn this from the prophets. The prophets, when they spoke about Allah, they had the most adab subhanahu wa ta'ala. They wouldn't even, you know, Ibrahim said, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فهو يشفي. When I become sick, Allah is the one who cures me. But in essence, do you become sick without Allah making you, allowing you to become sick? No. They're both from Allah. But Ibrahim attributed sickness to himself and the cure to Allah. Adab. Same thing with Al-Khadr. When he went, he would mention that I'm the one who did this. Whenever they, when he killed the boy, it appeared to be evil. He said, I did it. When he removed that you know, from the ship, he made the ship drunk, he attributed to himself. But when he fixed the wall, he attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adab with Allah. But if you're asking as to understand the wisdom behind it, then we know that Allah said, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Everything is a test. If there was no evil in this world, if there was no shaitan, there will be no test. If there was no test, there's no earning anything. And we learn in life that you have to earn things. Wouldn't it be nice if we came to the university here and said, my name is Muhammad Sharif, and I am, you know, I'm one of the descendants of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They say, fantastic, here's a degree. Would they do that? Even if you were, they will say, okay, you have to enroll in such and such class, you have to pay this kind of tuition, and you have to, you know, attend classes, do your homework. You have to earn it. If everybody was allowed and given a degree, even if they didn't qualify, this is injustice. And Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Adl, the most just. So Allah decreed that this is the case in order for us to reacquire a place in Jannah, which we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us. Now, what is the objective of shaitan? What is his goal? To entertain? What is his main objective? To deceive. Which is going to end up where? Khalas. His main thing is to take you to Jahannam. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا إِنَّمَا يَدُوا حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Verily the shaitan is an enemy to you. This is Allah's own declaration. Allah himself is telling us, verily shaitan is an enemy to you, so take him as an enemy. Have you ever looked up the word enemy in any dictionary? Look it up. When you're done with the lecture, open any dictionary, Oxford, Collins, whatever you want, and read the definition of enemy. You will find nothing nice. Nothing nice. Not someone who will invite you for breakfast. And not someone who will, you know, who will help you at the time of need. You will find someone who intends evil for you. He's a foe. He's someone who wants to, you know, basically afflict harm upon you. Someone who wants your destruction. Someone who hates you. Someone who envies you. It's all nothing but evil. And Allah's telling us that shaitan is a adu. He's an enemy. So take him as an enemy. Don't make him your qareen. Don't befriend him. What does he want? إِنَّمَا يَدْعُ حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. His main thing is to invite his hizb, his cult, his group, to be among the inhabitants of the hellfire, the companions of the hellfire. How does he do that? Number one, modern and classical trap of shaitan is exaggerating one matter on the expense of others. He loves to do that. He comes to the practicing Muslims. You see, the people that are in a bar getting drunk, he doesn't have much to do with them. He's already gotten them. They're pretty much khalas. They're some of his followers or one of his followers. He really wants you. And he wants me. We are the tough ones. We are the ones who have resistance. We are the ones who put up a fight. We are the ones who don't give up. We are the target. So he will come to one of us and he will make us exaggerate one matter while neglecting many other more important matters. And Islam is a deen of balance. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made you a balanced, middle kind of nation. We don't go to either extreme. No ifrat, no tafrit. No extremism and no negligence. No overindulgence and no carelessness. We have to remain in a middle path. In regards to everything about Islam, Once we go to one of these two things, shaitan is successful. He doesn't care much really whether you are going to ghulu or whether you have tafreed, as long as he's gotten you in one of them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during when he was on Hajj alayhi salatu wasalam, and he told one of the Sahaba to pick up the hasa, the pebbles for stoning the jamarat. And he picked up the jamarat, he showed them to the Sahaba in terms of size. He said like this, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوُ فِي الدِّينِ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. O people, woe to you. I warn you against extremism in the religion. إِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ الْغُلُوُ فِي الدِّينِ. The only thing which destroyed the nations which preceded you was extremism in their religion. And he said that in the context of showing him the size of the pebble. The size of the pebble. SubhanAllah. The context of the hadith has to show you how easily someone can go to ghulu. So the shaitan is always trying to have us go to extremes. We need to remain on the middle path. What is the middle path? The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are things which Allah made easy. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for you. He doesn't want to make things difficult. There are some rukhas, concessions which Allah gave. Enjoy them. It is mercy from Allah, enjoy it. No one has the right to say, you cannot do this rukhsa. Allah gave me this rukhsa. Don't go to extremes by preventing what Allah made halal. It's sadaqah from Allah, as the Prophet ﷺ said, accept it from Allah. The other extreme is negligence. They don't follow, there are things which the sunnah does not stipulate. Say, brother, but you know, today, you know, we have to really take it easy, you know. People have changed, so we can, you know, water down the deen and take out some things which make the deen appear to be extreme, just to make the people happy. And then, what happens? After you're done, you ask the people, are you happy? They say, no. We want more and more until there's nothing left. So as they say in Arabic, a proverb, رِضَ النَّاسِ غَايَةٌ لَا تُدْرَكِ. Trying to please the people is something impossible. I'll give you a story that they usually quote the ulama. They say there was a father and his son and a donkey. They were together. The father was riding the donkey and the son was walking next to the father. Okay? And they're traveling. They went by a town. The people of the town saw them, said, look at this father, merciless, no compassion, insensitive. You, an old man, you know, not very old, still in shape, mashallah, 40 years old, got your muscles, got everything going on. You ride on the donkey and you let your young child walk, you know, in the heat of the desert, on the sand. What, you know, what kind of father is this? They overheard them. So he said, my son, you know, I'm going to go down and you're going to get on this donkey. So then he let the son ride the donkey and he was walking next to him. They finished that village, they went to another village. And the people observing them said, look at this undutiful son. Look at this terrible child. How does he ride the donkey and let his father walk? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is, you know, this and that, and this is uquq al-walidain or whatever. They said, man, what's up with these people? Huh? He said, I'll tell you what. Let us both ride the donkey. What are we going to do? So they both ride on the donkey. Khalas, now people are supposed to be happy. They go by a third village. The people said, no mercy on the donkey. Two people on a donkey. The donkey cannot accommodate two people. No mercy, no rahmah for the hayawan. So now we have three. What is the fourth option? That they don't use the donkey. They just walk next to it. So they did. He said, that's the only thing, and I doubt anyone will have anything to say. So they do that. They go by a fourth village. They say, these people are stupid. Allah gives them a donkey, and they go walk next to the donkey. They don't ride the donkey. And so what is the moral behind the story? You can't make people happy, man. They always have something to say. Some people are just critics. Born critic with critiques. They always looking for anything. You say 100 good things and 0.01 bad. They say, brother, by the way, pay attention to yourself, akhi. You're going to lead the masses astray. What? You said, ah, instead of e, brother. Say, this is extremism.
We have to be moderate. Not per our hawa, not our desires. No, we have to adhere to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Whatever it made flexible, we make flexible. Whatever it made restricted, we make restricted. We have to go by the sunnah in this fashion. So one of the traps of the shaitan is this idea. We have to be careful. The other one is when he comes to individuals in the same light, favoring or exaggerating one matter over others, he says to one of us, your salah, perfect. You should see yourself in salah. Stand there with khushu', you look in the place of prostration, mashallah. Brother, no matter how much you sin, ma fi mushkila. This is the satanic fatwa. Don't worry, because salah, you know, is hasanat. Then he will give you another fatwa. He will tell you, inna al-hasanati yudhibna al-sayyat. The good deeds will erase the bad deeds. And then أُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيَّاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. He will give you all the ayat to make you feel, make us feel, that no problem, you can continue to sin. As long as your salah is good, no problem. This is exaggerating one matter over the others. If our salah was really good, what will happen? What does Allah say in the Quran? إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. If that salah was really that good with khushu', it would have prevented us from this kind of evil and this abhorrent act. If it is not doing so, meaning the salah was never good to begin with. But the shaitan will use this as a trap. Okay, barakallah feek. The second misconception or trap he has is, you're a nice guy. Huh? You meet many Muslims, they don't pray, they may fast, you know, 2 days of the whole month of Ramadan, and they may have all kinds of masaib, calamities. And you say, akhi, you know, this is very dangerous, brother. This is the way that leads to Jahannam. He says, yes, but I'm very nice with people. I don't steal. I don't steal from anyone. I don't disrespect anyone. I don't take the rights of anyone. Okay, and so the shaitan justifies that it's okay to abandon the rights of Allah provided that you are a nice guy. And that is incorrect. If that was an effective tool, then the nicest person ever was who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why was he praying until his feet would swell if being nice was sufficient to dissolve you, or to absolve you, I'm sorry, of the responsibility of ibadah? So that is one of the tricks of the shaitan. The third one before the 3 minutes end before the adhan, don't worry, we'll continue inshallah after the salah, bi-idhnillah, is the good intention. I have good intentions, my niyyah is good. And so all kinds of evil is committed by the good niyyah. I remember in one of the lectures, I was telling the brothers earlier in India, during the Q&A session, sorry we won't have one now, a brother said, brother, I have a girlfriend, and I know it's haram, but I'm afraid to break her heart. So, see, the beautiful niyyah. Oh, brother, what a sweetheart. You're so concerned about the young lady. He doesn't want to break her heart. So he remains with her in haram. Huh? Both of them on a one-way ticket to Jahannam. ما في مشكلة. But let's not break each other's hearts. Good niyyah, wrong deed. Don't fall for that one. Okay? Many times a good niyyah does not do the job. We must make sure that the deed itself is pleasing to Allah. Then the niyyah will be of much value. But evil deed with good niyyah is not going to do it. And so with that, inshallah, we will stop for the adhan. And bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, if Allah grants us the ability, we will continue with more after Salatul Isha. Jazakumullah khair.